drops the ball.
Pigs have flown. Hell is frozen over. The Saints are on their way to the Super Bowl.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts that your vehicle will ever need. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A on Twitter, editor over at canalstreetchronicles.com, and your host covering your New Orleans Saints every single Monday through Friday. Thank you very much for being with us to kick off your week. Hope that you all had a safe and fun 4th of July, but no long weekends here at Locked On Saints. We're ready to roll. So let's go ahead and get started with today's episode. I watched and charted all 56 targets of Ted Ginn Jr.'s 2019 and then turned around and watched all 53 of Emmanuel Sanders while he was with the San Francisco 49ers. So what does Sanders do better than Ginn? Besides catching, of course, we'll discuss where it is that Emmanuel Sanders will help improve this offense. But first, I want to talk a little bit about training camp because there are some new media rules that will affect your access and enjoyment of camp. Then we're going to talk more about the possible roster cut down, who's most in danger of being off this team before the end of the month. We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The NFL's new media protocol is going to make camp a lot different, and your experience as a fan is going to be a lot different as well. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So fans have usually become accustomed to being able to follow along with their local beat writers, Nick Underhill, Kat Terrell, Larry Holder, and sort of get the live and in-depth information about what's going on during camp. Who's in the lineup? Who's in on first team? Who's in on second team? Who's in the nickel? What's going on? Has somebody limped off the field? Are they okay? You're used to getting all that information live and in the moment. Beat writers love to go to camp and do everything that they can via their social media outreach to make fans feel like they are present and there at camp and in the moment. And unfortunately, that's just simply not going to be the case for 2020's training camp. Now, the NFL has released their media protocol for camp, which begins here in just over 3 weeks, and things are going to be a lot different. So if you want to get into the nitty-gritty of all this, you can head over to Tom Pelissero's Twitter account. He tweeted out the two-page protocol at Tom Pelissero, and you can read through it yourself, although there's one correction here that needs to be made, and then some more context we're going to provide for what the Pro Football Writers of America sent out as well. But basically what you need to know is that there are two different tiers of media coverage that are going to happen this year. There's a larger pool of 30 personnel, which includes training staff, medical staff, as well as media, that are going to be able to be present for the outdoor activities that take place. And then there's still going to be the indoor activity. So this part is a little bit, just in terms of the number of people, has changed, but in terms of the structure is very much the same. There's usually the indoor, which is closed off. Media can't tweet, media can't share any of the information from there until after the fact, things like that. But then they have the outdoor facility, which usually you have fans present. And because of that, you have people live tweeting, you have people sharing videos live and in time and things like that. So that structure in terms of the indoor, outdoor, private, not private, does not change in terms of the indoor, outdoor portion of it. However, when you go indoors now, there will be only 10 reporters, which is a correction from the Tom Pelissero tweet and the media protocol that was sent out by the NFL, which notes there will only be 4 reporters. That is not the case. It will be 10 reporters. So you're not going to be reading a pool report that's coming out from, you know, a handful of reporters shared by a bunch of other reporters. You'll still very much get each reporter's individual take. So that's still very good. And I'm very grateful to hear that. However, there will be only one videographer and one photographer. So there's not going to be probably as much video content surfacing after the fact from the indoor facilities. The big key change for a lot of people when it comes to the fan aspect of camp is being able to engage live and in time and understanding what's going on live and in time. I'm going to read you a couple of the specific rules that have been sort of established within this protocol that are going to most affect you as the fan. First of all, no reference to game day strategy or specific plays run. That's not entirely different, but let's keep reading. No reporting of which players are practicing with individual units, which includes goal line, nickel defenses, red zone offenses, etc. That's very different. Usually we're used to being told this person's in at the nickel, they're doing goal line, this person's in at goal line, this person has rotated in. So this is going to be a little bit different. And, you know, in terms of who's practicing first team, second team, That's what's going to change a little bit. No blogging, texting, or tweeting or reporting of any kind is permitted from practice, including comments overheard between players, coaches, and staff while on site. This information may also not be included in reporting, social media or otherwise, at a later date. So this is big. This is where the fan experience of camp, when you're somebody that you can't go to camp now because of everything that's going on with the pandemic, this is where everything changes. And this is where camp is going to feel a lot different for the fan, because you're used to getting those updates live and in time. Now, you'll still get the updates. You're still going to get non-strategy, non-game plan updates. You'll know who practiced, who didn't, but it might be after the fact now. And so it just makes the training camp specific idea just a little bit different. It makes the feeling a little bit different. It makes it a little bit harder to build hype, to build excitement, things like that. So again, you're still going to get the information, but it's going to come at a later time. And unfortunately, the whole feeling of I'm getting these updates live and in time because these beat reporters are making me feel like I'm there simply won't be the case. And you have to realize that because of safety protocols and things like that, fans aren't going to be able to be present at training camp. So with that being the case, they're keeping everything shuttered and behind closed doors. I understand what the NFL is doing. These are very Tom Coughlin rules, but it is going to feel a little bit different for the NFL fan. But thankfully, here in New Orleans, we have a fantastic group of local writers, fantastic group of media that will do everything that they can to make sure that we give you all the information that you need, even if it comes after the fact, to make sure that you're up to date with everything going on with your New Orleans Saints. So the changes in training camp will certainly be felt by the NFL fan, but there are some potential drastic changes coming for NFL players as well. What if the Saints have to cut down their 90-man roster to 75 before they begin camp? Who's safe, who's on the fence, and who's potentially in danger? We got that coming for you next year on Locked On Saints, your team every day. But before we get to that, I want to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Rock Auto has been incredible to me. You have all shared some of your stories as well. They've been fantastic. You can check them out over at rockauto.com. The absolute best place to go if you need to improve something in your car, if you need to replace something in your car, or if you're just simply into rebuilding vehicles, Rock Auto is your place. You can check them out online. They have a super easy to navigate catalog that lets you filter everything down by make, model, and even the price that you want to pay. Can't find them on the website? Don't worry. Give them a call. They'll help you out. This is a family business. They've been doing this. They've been helping people online for 20 years over at rockauto.com, and they're phenomenal, incredibly helpful. And they just want to see you get exactly what it is that you need without having to pay skyrocketing prices like you're going to pay at the place right there around the corner. Whether you're a professional or a do-it-yourself, or you're going to pay the same price, doesn't matter. They're going to take care of you over at rockauto.com. So go and check them out. And don't forget to let them know that we sent you by writing Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section at checkout. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts that your vehicle will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, Huda Nation, before we continue today's episode, going through some training camp news here, and in a moment, we'll talk a little bit about my comparison, Emmanuel Sanders, Ted Ginn Jr. What does Emmanuel Sanders bring to this roster that Ted Ginn Jr. did not have over the last couple of years? Before we get to that, just want to remind you that if this is your first time catching the show, I just want to thank you very much for coming through and let you know that if you would like to, you're more than welcome to subscribe so you keep up to everything going on here on Locked On Saints every Monday through Friday here. The entire way through. I'm not going anywhere. We had some options this month to take off and only do 3 episodes. I didn't do it. I did 5 episodes every week because I love y'all and I'm not going anywhere. So if you would like to, please feel free to subscribe. Those of you that have been subscribed and that have been back time after time after time again, I just want to say thank you. And again, I hope everybody had a fantastic 4th of July. So let's go ahead and get started with, we talked about sort of the fan experience and how that's going to be different for training camp. Obviously, fans won't be present physically at training camp, but now also we've heard no live tweeting. So that's going to feel a little bit different. The potential reports at the end might feel a little bit different in terms of the amount of detail that some media are allowed to share. But it's not just the fans that have a big difference here. It's also potentially going to affect the players, and not necessarily the poor reporters and everything like that. For to be completely honest with you, they're probably going to do interviews in groups, which is probably going to be a little bit less, you know, individual interviews can feel a little nerve-wracking. So now they'll be probably with their guys doing these. They'll probably be on Zoom, and media and everything won't necessarily be, you know, with them, with the exception of those 10 people that are allotted in on the inside that might be able to do some interviews based upon what the club is allowing them to do. So there's some things like that that are going to be different for the player. But one of the other things is simply that they might not even make it to camp. And one of the big things that's been changing so far has been in discussion so far over this offseason is whether or not the NFL wants to cut down the training camp rosters from 90 all the way down to as low as 75. We've also heard 80, but as low as 75 is what we're going to talk about here today. And you have to imagine that that's nerve-wracking for a lot of players, because it does end up making it to where, you know, 15 potentially of these players, 15 players from every club potentially across the NFL might end up in a position to where they don't even get an opportunity to show what they have going into camp. That's a total of 480 guys, 480 players that could potentially be trimmed off in the NFL that don't even get an opportunity to show what they've got in camp and in the preseason. So I wanted to take a look at the Saints roster a bit and sort of name some of the players that might potentially be in trouble here before they get into the 90 man, or sorry, before they even get into training camp. And realize that when I say that they're in trouble, it's of no fault of their own. I really broke this down into three separate tiers in terms of looking at the Saints roster. And some of it just simply depends upon what your level is, how you came into the NFL, when you came into the NFL, where are you with the team last year? All of this factors in probably more than actual individual talent does, because individual talent may not even be able to be seen by a team before they have to make the decision to cut up to 15 players off of their training camp squad. Because remember, none of these coaches have gotten to see any of these players so far this offseason. That has not happened. The players that have been signed in free agency, the undrafted free agents, the rookies, even the sort of lower tier, like 1 year vet free agents as well, ain't nobody gotten the opportunity to really get a look at them. So really, this decision is basically going to be made upon who do we want to preserve on this team to make sure that they're ready to go at the beginning of the season. So there's going to be a lot of decisions made based upon who was on the team last year and how many bodies do we need to keep in camp behind them to make sure that we don't overwork them in camp and they make it to the regular season. Now, if the schedule is broken out the way that the NFLPA recommended, which is under consideration by the NFL and is by no means is this going to be a part of what is absolutely going to happen, but the NFLPA proposed canceling all four games of the preseason, essentially having 3 days of medical checks and equipment checks, things like that, 21 days of strength and conditioning, which I think is a good idea because they've missed out on so much of the offseason already that just jumping right into practices is probably not the best idea. And then spending the final 24 days looking into practices. So it gives you an extra month of preparation before you get directly into week one. And then coaches have to make their decisions on the final 53-man roster, or the initial 53-man roster, based upon what they've seen during that sort of extended training camp session. Now, there is also talk that the practice squad will extend from 10 to 16. That would be excellent. First of all, it helps to protect teams, and it also helps to give some of these up to 480 guys that could be losing a job here an opportunity to still get in with a team based on what if they can get signed to the practice squad. So when I broke this down into three different tiers, I looked at starters from 2019 as tier one. Those are the guys that are absolutely you expect to be on the team here in 2020 and that are pretty safe, right? They're at their safest. Even if it's a guy like PJ Williams who started at nickel but probably won't start at nickel in 2020, he's still going to be valuable depth for you. He still has a better shot to make the roster as, say, a guy like Tino Ellis, for instance, who's coming in as an undrafted free agent from Maryland, right? So you put those guys kind of in the first tier. The second tier, I look at 2019 depth. I look at early free agency signings such as Emmanuel Sanders, Malcolm Jenkins, for instance, those guys with some guarantees in their contracts, as well as the draft picks, right? Cesar Ruiz is not going anywhere, right? Zach Bond's not going anywhere. Adam Trautman's not going anywhere. Jury's out on Tommy Stevens. We'll see what happens. But those guys, to me, are sort of your tier two. They're the ones that something crazy could happen and they could end up on the street, but very likely they will not because this team has already begun to invest in them. They were invested in them last year. Those of them that were there as 2019 depth, those that they signed on free agency contracts early on in free agency have guarantees in their contracts. Those are guys that they signed specifically to fill roles. Malcolm Jenkins came in to fill for Von Bell. Emmanuel Sanders came to fill for Ted Ginn Jr. They're not going anywhere. And then the draft picks are just those are guys that you invest in. And we already know Cesar Ruiz has a poignant part to play in the Saints offensive line. Same thing for Zach Bond, Adam Trautman at their positions. Again, we'll see what happens with Tommy Stevens. But the guys that are in the biggest sort of, I guess, the most danger right now, and Tommy Stevens would be included in this because I mentioned day three draft picks, but also undrafted free agents, guys on reserve future contracts, and the 1 year vets. And what I mean by the 1 year vets, there could be guys that even were depth last year, like a DJ Swearinger who signed on a 1 year deal with the Saints this season. That's a very, very deep safety room in there right now. And especially if you include CJ Gardner-Johnson. And so there's going to be hard. It's going to be tough to find space within that room. Could DJ Swearinger be somebody that is that's on the outside looking in and therefore doesn't even make it to camp? Now, I feel like he has a better chance of making it to camp and then just simply not ending up on the 53 than he does to just plain not make it to camp. But you look at some of these other guys, undrafted free agents like Adrian McGee, Jordan Stekler, Darren Paolo, Blake Gillikin, who was brought in as an extra punter so that Thomas Morstead would get some rest, right? You look at some of the guys that are on the reserve future contracts, Taquan Mizell, Tommy Lee Lewis, Cole Wick, Andrew Dowell, Chris Johnson, the safety you've never heard of. Those guys are more than likely on the outside looking in. You look at some of the guys that signed, you know, the one-year deals. I mentioned DJ Swearinger, but you also have to look at Austin Carr, who finished 2019 on injured reserve. So yes, he was depth. He was on the team last year, but they didn't really get to work with him at all. Anthony Ciccolo, who was signed late in free agency coming in from Pittsburgh as another edge rusher, potentially. Even a guy that I really like in Michael Burton, who was injured he got injured during the preseason, ended up not making the team. The Saints never got to work with him because he signed in Washington and ended up playing there. Saints instead ended up being able to bring up Ricky Ortiz and Michael Burton. If you are going to go with the guy that you've already gotten a game plan for, Ricky Ortiz all of a sudden has a little bit more value there. So it's very interesting to see exactly how that's going to work out. Now, I still think Michael Burton wins that role. And a guy like Ty Montgomery, I'm not even naming here because I think that he can easily make, he's going to be in camp. There's no way that Ty Montgomery is not in camp, although we've been surprised before. So these are guys that are all very much kind of in trouble, quote unquote. And again, it's not about their performance. It's just simply about the situation to which they're subjected. And that the teams are subjected. If this NFL ends up decides that the need is to cut these rosters down to upwards of 75, even down to 80, a lot of these guys are going to lose some jobs. And unfortunately, these are only a few of the names, these names that I read off, that could potentially be out on the 2020 year before training camp even begins. So more than certainly, fingers crossed for these guys that cut does not happen and that the Saints are, and every NFL team, are able to bring in 90 people into their training camp roster, because you'd hate to see this happen the way that it's potentially being talked about. So training camp is going to be a lot different. But for the Saints, they're going to be hoping that wide receiver production opposite Michael Thomas is going to be different in 2020. I did a lot of research, and I'll tell you why it absolutely will be up here next. We'll get into some of the fun stuff here on today's Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Huda Nation, we're wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints. A little bit of in-depth coverage here. I know the first couple of segments were a little stark, a little bit realistic. But again, I just wanted to make sure that I give you all the information that you need, especially understanding how things can be different going into this NFL season. So speaking of things going different, the Saints, as well as many of you, many of us, wanted to see something different when it came to production at wide receiver opposite Michael Thomas. And this year, we're absolutely going to get it. I sat back and I watched every single target, not every single route, but every single target for Ted Ginn Jr. in 2019. That was 56 different targets. And then I turned around and I watched 53 from San Francisco. Just feel like where Emmanuel Sanders was in San Francisco isn't completely comparable to what the system is that the Saints run, but still it's just a better sample size in terms of number of targets. And then also just having one consistent quarterback all the way through as well, even though Ted Ginn Jr. did play with Teddy Bridgewater for a little bit. But when you look at these two, I mean, their time in these two places over the course of these 53 targets for Emmanuel Sanders, 56 for Ted Ginn Jr. aren't too terribly far off from one another. Ted Ginn Jr., 56 times he was targeted, 30 catches, 421 yards, and two touchdowns. Emmanuel Sanders, 53 times that he was targeted in San Francisco, yielded 36 catches, 502 yards, and three touchdowns. The difference is that is Emmanuel Sanders over 10 games versus Ted Ginn Jr. over 16 games. So that's a humongous difference in terms of what you're getting for production. Remember, Emmanuel Sanders also played 17 games this past season. He didn't get a bye week because he was traded before Denver took their bye week, but after San Francisco had already taken theirs. So he played 17 games and still kept up that production that we saw up close and personal all the way into week 14. So let's start off with some, I guess we'll say, stats to help set the table here a little bit. So we're looking at some advanced statistics here. Let's look at average separation. There's a big sort of, consensus that Emmanuel Sanders is going to create more separation than Ted Ginn Jr. But in 2019, in fact, actually, he created less, 2.5 yards of separation on average versus Ted Ginn Jr.'s 2.8. Both not very good numbers. The difference is Emmanuel Sanders can still make catches based on that and makes a lot. And remember, too, that that's based upon far more targets and far more routes run. Because remember, I'm talking about Emmanuel Sanders getting 53 targets in 10 games as opposed to Ted Ginn Jr.'s 56 over 16 games. And there were still seven more games that Emmanuel Sanders played as a Denver Bronco, right? So worth keeping that in mind. Average cushion given by defensive backs, 5.1 off the line of scrimmage for Emmanuel Sanders, 7 for Ted Ginn Jr. So Ted Ginn Jr. was never a concern to defensive backs underneath. He was always a guy that they were concerned about 10, 15 to 45 yards down the field, right? 42 yards down the field in terms of longest air completion that Drew Brees had in 2019. That's where they were most concerned. That's a good sign. You want to see that because Emmanuel Sanders, as we'll see here in just a moment, is going to give you more production underneath than what Ted Ginn Jr. was able to give you over the past couple of years. Catch percentage, just something that we absolutely have to throw in there, around 68% for Emmanuel Sanders, just over 53.5% for Ted Ginn Jr. Not great. Not great for Ted Ginn Jr., but this is good for Emmanuel Sanders. Remember that you saw Ted Ginn Jr. take a huge leap in his catch percentage his first year coming into New Orleans. I think you can expect the same from Emmanuel Sanders. Look at yards per route run, 1.76 in terms of for Emmanuel Sanders. If you look at the Saints and the the San Francisco 49ers over last season, Michael Thomas was up there at over 2.5 yards per yard per route run. There was one other receiver, I believe it was Debo Samuel, and then Emmanuel Sanders. So he was third in the mix of all of that. You look at Ted Ginn Jr., 0.96, so less than a yard per route run, not fantastic. And again, he didn't get targeted a lot, and that's what that difference is. You look at drop percentage, 3.1% for Emmanuel Sanders, 14.5% for Ted Ginn Jr., need I say more? And then this one's actually per Nick Underhill from a later article, or from one of the latest articles that he's written over at neworleans.football, where he was looking at Emmanuel Sanders' potential production in 2020, which I suggest you go and take a look at because there's hard numbers there in terms of what his projection is in terms of, you know, targets, receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Go and check that out for sure. It's great work. But versus press, Emmanuel Sanders was targeted 33 times versus press. He made 20 catches for 310 yards against press coverage in 2019 as a whole, Denver and San Francisco. I don't have the target numbers for Ted Ginn Jr., but I do have that he only caught two passes of 53 yards against press coverage. So again, that has a lot to do with the amount of work that you can do underneath. How quickly can you disengage from somebody that's coming up and playing press on you? How both efficient and effective can you be off the line of scrimmage? That is definitely way more in Emmanuel Sanders' realm as a route runner than it is amongst Ted Ginn Jr.'s skill set, right? So now let's get to the nitty gritty here, the research that I did. I looked at every route that these guys ran when they were targeted. Ted Ginn Jr. saw the most success in routes, the curl route, to where he would get probably about 10 yards, 10 to 15 yards down the field, and then turn over his inside shoulder. If he turns over his outside shoulder toward the sideline, that's a comeback. If he turns over his inside, that's a curl. That's the difference between those two. And that was 9 for 13 for 85 yards. Pretty good production there and pretty good catch rate there as well, being targeted 13 times and catching 9 of those. Another easy one to see for Ted Ginn Jr. is the post route. That should be no surprise for anybody. 3 of 6. You remember the big one from Teddy Bridgewater against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 108 yards and a touchdown there. And then you have the go route, where he was only 3 for 11, but still went for 94 yards over those three catches. Now, when we look at Emmanuel Sanders looking at the exact same routes, 6 for 6 for 84 yards on the comeback. I'm sorry, on the curl route. See, I made the same mistake. 3 for 3 for 136 yards, and I'm pretty sure a touchdown there on the post route, but 0 for 0 when it came to the go route. And I'm not mad at that because that does not fit in the Saints offense right now, with Drew Brees still being the quarterback. So I'm not mad at the fact that the 9 route isn't in Emmanuel Sanders' wheelhouse right now, or at least wasn't utilized in that Shanahan offense over with the San Francisco 49ers, because it's probably not going to be utilized that much when it comes to the Saints either. I need to look at the Denver Broncos snaps that he took, targets that he got coming up next as well. And I imagine you'll see probably more go routes there, but I'm not mad to not see that there. But you look at the two other places where Ted Ginn Jr. produced best, the curl and the post, and Emmanuel Sanders was better in both with 100% catch percentage over those combined routes over that. And then 84 yards as compared to 85 yards, 136 yards as compared to 108 yards on the curl and post, respectively. Now let's look where Ted Ginn Jr. didn't have much production, which would be the slant route and on double moves, when you look at just those alone, the slant route, Emmanuel Sanders, almost said Michael Thomas because he's looked like Michael Thomas numbers, 8-for-11 for 130 yards. Now, this is all about beating press coverage, right? This is what we were just talking about. Ted Ginn Jr. can't, Emmanuel Sanders can, and the slant route is one of the ways that you can actually see it, the hand fighting at the line of scrimmage, getting off of that break, selling the route, everything. Emmanuel Sanders does it great. If the haters hate on how much Michael Thomas can win on the slant route, even though he runs everything in the book, the only thing he probably doesn't run that well is a corner route, but eventually I'm sure he'll add that. They are going to really hate seeing Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas on this field at the same time with a sort of medical professional in terms of precision when it comes to Drew Brees throwing the football, because that is going to eat up defenses all day. The other thing is double moves. Now, the numbers aren't fantastic. Only 1-for-3, one catch on 3 targets with San Francisco for 75 yards. You remember one big double move that he pulled off in week 14 against the New Orleans Saints. But in every single one of those cases, Emmanuel Sanders was either overthrown, underthrown, or thrown off target by Jimmy Garoppolo. You remember the one against the Saints? Marcus Williams was actually in perfect position to make a play on that ball because Jimmy Garoppolo threw a bad pass, and you see him, you know, overthrowing passes. You saw him do it in the Super Bowl. Double moves are something that you didn't really see a lot from Ted Ginn Jr. In fact, I didn't see one in terms of when he was targeted. So he was running them, but he wasn't running them when he was getting targeted. And so I'll be excited to see that be able to come back to the New Orleans Saints offense as well, because that's very Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham kind of stuff that we haven't seen in a while. And those double moves are going to be huge. And so especially if he's getting single coverage because Michael Thomas is getting double teamed and getting the attention of the safeties, Emmanuel Sanders is going to have a fantastic 2020 with the New Orleans Saints. All of this is only half of the evidence that I have ready. I'm going to get you the rest of it later on this week when I go over all of his Denver Broncos stuff as well. But between what I'm talking about here, between Nick's article over at NewOrleans.football, and between just simply what you know about Emmanuel Sanders, Sean Payton, and the Saints offense, you have every reason to be excited about what Emmanuel Sanders is going to bring in 2020, because he's going to be a big time recharge for this offense and a viable wide receiver opposite Michael Thomas. All right, Houdini Nation, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Saints. And now that you're done here, make sure you tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NFL so you can get all the news that's going on all around the league and stay up to date with everything that's happening. That also affects your New Orleans Saints as well. So go and check them out again, Locked On NFL, Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson. As for now, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with your Twitter Tuesday questions, as well as more information about this wild offseason as it continues to roll in. And then we'll continue on throughout our week as usual. That's going to do it for today, everybody. Thank you very much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Houdat Nation. I'll holla at you.